Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts on the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. I'm Allison Klein. Today we're here with Kirk Skaugen. Kirk, tell me what your role is at Intel.
I'm Vice President in Digital Enterprise Group and General Manager of the Server Platforms Group.
And today we're talking about Itanium. In 2006, the big message around Itanium was the launch of Montecito. How is the Itanium line done in the marketplace?
Well, we continue to be very excited about the momentum we're seeing in the software community as well as design wins with end customers and OEMs. System revenue actually grew 43% year on year since we launched the dual core with Montecito. And at the same time, we've seen RISC revenue, our primary competitor, go down 9%. So that's been incredibly positive. Obviously, the architecture is positioned against mainframe and the traditional RISC competitors of Power and Spark. And if we look at system revenue, that is what IT actually purchases of servers on Itanium, we now represent about 54% of the entire Power microprocessor system revenue and 58% of Spark revenue just with Itanium.
So those numbers keep creeping up, and the competition in the mission-critical space is obviously incredibly fierce. What's Intel doing to continue Itanium's momentum against Spark and Power architectures?
Well, the first thing we're doing is just making sure that the applications are available and scaling. We've continued to double the number of applications every year on the Itanium architecture. We went from 3,000 to 6,000 to 12,000 applications. So that delivers choice to the end customer, not just of OEMs, but also of the software that they run. We're delivering over 10 operating systems now onto the architecture. And, you know, the good news is that Windows and Linux are becoming an increasingly larger part of what we're seeing deployed on Itanium. So the openness of Windows and Linux is a great plus for a lot of customers looking to reduce their total cost of ownership.
It sounds like what this all boils down to is customer choice. I would assume that extends to the hardware platforms as well.
Sure. I mean, I'm the chairman of the Itanium Solutions Alliance as well. And that was a group of people that got together to commit actually $10 billion to the architecture through the end of the decade. And that includes really every mainframe company in the world except IBM, and also includes all of the major Itanium players like Unisys, NEC, Fujitsu, Fujitsu Siemens, Bull, Intel, HP, SGI, and others. So we're excited about the choice that's being delivered and the fact that we have a group of people that have a common vision of the next generation of mission-critical computing.
Now, in your role at Intel, you also manage the Xeon product lines, and Xeon continues to ramp capability and performance. How do we differentiate, and how do we continue to differentiate Itanium?
Well, we're excited about Xeon. We've obviously had tremendous market segment share gains on Xeon over the last four quarters, according to Mercury Research. So Xeon continues to grow further and further in the enterprise. Obviously, we're very happy with our partnership with IBM and Sun now on the Xeon architecture. But Itanium is going to continue to be our highest performance, highest reliable, and highest available architecture, really focused on the most mission-critical applications in the marketplace, whether it's for banking and financial services or a variety of other applications.
IBM recently launched Power 6, and you know they got a lot of press stating that they had a solid lead over Itanium. How would you respond to the claim that they are in a competitive advantage to us today?
Well, Power 6 or even Power 5 only scales to 16 cores, whereas the HP systems scale to 128 cores. So if you look at an HP Superdome today using 64 dual-core Itanium 2 processors, we're delivering more performance than IBM Power's top result. I think the reality is there'll be back and forth in the marketplace based on where you're at year by year. But the reliability, the performance, and the mission critical elements of Itanium are clear. And the marketplace is choosing Itanium. That's very clear.
I suppose that competition just ultimately drives innovation anyway.
Well, it's very difficult when a new microprocessor plan is approximately $4 billion. You need scale in order to deliver that. I think it's becoming increasingly more difficult to deliver your own RISC microprocessor in an environment that has been decreasing year on year from a RISC perspective. So what Itanium's trying to do is deliver uncompromised performance, reliability, and availability with a new level of economics that a choice of vendor, operating system, and application can bring to the marketplace.
You run the server group for Intel. What's big in servers?
Well, Intel's talking about really three things: leading in performance and the continued TikTok model of alternating microarchitectures and new process generations each and every year, maintaining leadership performance. We're talking about leading in energy efficiency, the benefits as we move to 45 nanometer, as well as showing off Nehalem and its multi-threading capability for servers, which will be available in 2008. And then last but not least, Intel is extremely focused on virtualization, and we're talking about the integration of virtualization, acceleration, and reliability features into the processor, chipset, and networking.
Intel recently launched the Xeon 7300 series, and you've called that the ultimate platform for virtualization. Why is that?
Well, we've really designed the Tigerton or the Intel Xeon 7300 grounds up for virtualization. We've quadrupled the memory capacity relative to the previous dual-core versions, which is very important if you're looking at server consolidation. We've also doubled the performance and tripled the performance per watt of the product generation on generation. And we're adding in our gigabit silicon things like virtual machine device queuing, new relationships with VMware around flex migration that enables you to run vMotion across multiple generations of product, and something called flex priority, which basically just enables higher performance virtualization capabilities. So every aspect of the platform was designed for being the leadership platform for virtualization.
What can customers expect from upcoming Itanium product innovations?
We're actually talking about something called core level lockstep. This is a mission critical feature that will be used in some of the largest stock exchanges in the world. It really rivals what has traditionally been available only in mainframe class computing. So not just from a performance increase, but really incredibly new levels of high availability features going into the microprocessor. That's available in Montvale. In addition, we have a new product called Tukwila on track for the second half of 2008. We're moving to four cores, to hyper-threading technology, new high-speed interconnects. You know, our goal is to double the performance of even what we're delivering today with dual core when we move to Tukwila. So it's a very exciting roadmap. Beyond that, we've talked about Pulsen, which will be the future. So Itanium has a long life ahead of it.
Well, Kirk, I know that you're a busy guy, and we're really happy to have you here on Chip Chat today.
Hey, it was great to be here, and I look forward to talking more about the future with you shortly.